We win.
Amen.
When it's all said and done, we win. Praise God. Glory to God. I can't, I know it's, we have a job to do down here, but I can't wait to go there. The Bible says we're looking to a home, not built with human hands, praise God, and looking to a habitation that was made by godly hands in heaven, and praise God. We're looking forward to that day, to be absent with the bodies, to be present with the Lord, to depart and be with Christ is far better, right? You know, it's okay to be excited about heaven. You know, the Apostle Paul said, King James, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. That would mean I'm in a rock between a rock and a hard place. He said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, yet it's more needful for me to stay here and do ministry. And so I can't wait to go there, but let's get the job done here. But man, I'll tell you, we win. Praise God, we win. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Proverbs. We're going to pick up from last week, a message last week that'll keep you safe. And this week, following up with that, we just kind of looked at last week how God leads us. And we'll do just a real quick review, and we'll just get going and find out how we can hear from heaven today. How many of you know we face decisions that we don't know the answers to?
Right.
We have many questions that arise, or we have many things that come across our plate. And, you know, the Bible says this. Let me just encourage you with this. It says in Psalms 127 and verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So you can build something in your life, and you can spend money, and you can spend time, and you can spend effort on it. And you can build something, but if God's not in it, you built it in vain, and it probably is not going to stand. Amen? And so we need to build everything on what the Lord says to do, so we need to find out how to hear from heaven. It's not hard. It's not some great big secret, praise God. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, let's pray. Father, we're honored to be here. We're thankful for your word. We're just so grateful that, Father, you didn't leave us in the dark. You didn't leave us to wander. You didn't leave us to wonder. Father, you gave us the answer. You gave us your word. And Father, I thank you that through your word, Father, revelation comes to us, insight and wisdom. Father, what we need to do in life, decisions that we need to make, paths we need to take. And Father, we thank you that we won't miss it. Father, we thank you that we'll walk out your plan. Father, we say that our steps are ordered of you and that we fulfill every single thing that you have for us. And we will not miss out. Father, we declare that we're always in the right place at the right time. And Father, as I minister this morning, speak through me. May my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. May I speak as the oracles of God, and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power this morning. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 was the scripture that we started with last week, and it's an amazing one, because what it tells us is absolutely just awesome for our lives. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. This is needful to say this. This isn't part of my message, but the Holy Ghost just interrupted me. You know, getting into a place where you'll trust God is so huge. Because when you trust God, when the natural goes awry, and when the natural doesn't look good, you understand and you stay calm and you stay into faith because you know God is still on the throne. And a lot of people just have an issue with trusting God. It seems as though they trust God. Things are going good. You know, the money's in the account or the doctor's report is good or everything is great with their family. And there's really no storm that's causing them to rock and reel in life. But as soon as hell shows up at their front door, we find out if people are trusting God. And so I encourage you to get into a place where you trust God that, you know, when you believe and trust God, you know that no matter what happens, it always is going to work out for your benefit. I mean, think of some of the situations that you've been in that have absolutely looked impossible, but they got turned around. But before they got turned around, when you were in that impossible situation, it looked like there was no way. Now, see, if you could go back in that situation and maybe trust God a little more, maybe you wouldn't have worried. Maybe you would have been calm. Maybe you would have been full of faith. Maybe you would have had more joy. Well, remember that the next time something happens that you don't understand, or something happens that looks so impossible, or something happens that looks like, how could this be? I don't understand. Just know, God, you're on the throne. You haven't forgot about me, and it's going to work out better than it has before. Yeah, that's for people out there today that need that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. This verse is telling you that you never have to make a mistake the rest of your life. Any big decision, you never have to miss it. You don't have to go the wrong place, take the wrong job, do the wrong thing. If you'll do what the word says here, you have a God in heaven who's for you, who's your dad, who wants to take you into the good things that he's already prepared before you. Blessings that he's already had prepared before the foundations of the world. It says if you'll just in all your ways acknowledge him. And that's really the crux of the whole thing, is that people don't acknowledge God. They go off and they do their own thing. They go off and do their own thing with their own ideas. And then they get into trouble. They get into trouble. And God says, listen, it doesn't have to be that way. How many of you know a lot of times things that happen don't have to be that way? A lot of times that when people go through things in life, and we'll look at some of these things, they go through things unnecessarily.
That's right.
And God's in heaven saying, never had to be that way. If you'd have just asked me about it, I'd have had you miss that roadblock. I'd have had you miss that pitfall. I'd have had you miss that problem. But you never took time to seek me. You never took time to hear my voice. You just went off and did your own thing. And how many of you know we're all guilty of that? Me included, a lot of times. And I'm trying to get better and better because I'm finding out that he knows everything, number one. He never wants to lead me into anything wrong, number two. And so if I'll just take the time to hear from him, I'll get the right answer, and I'll get the right answer not only at the time, but for the rest of my life. Hallelujah. And so that's what that verse is saying. And so we're trying to find out, how does God then lead us down those paths? Because how many of you know, there are a lot of Christians, we know this, who are suffering, who are hurting, who are broke, who are depressed, who are worried, who are full of fear, full of anxiety. Those aren't paths that God has prepared. Those aren't paths that God would, you know, the Bible says God leads you down the still waters, the green pastures. He restores your soul. He leads you down a path where you have two stalkers behind you, goodness and mercy, right? Following you all the days of your life. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And so we know that the paths are good things, but by seeing that Christians who are children of God, who God loves so much, are suffering, going through heartache, going through physical problems, going through financial problems, going through just trial and calamity after calamity, we know that's not the path and the plan that God has for their life. Now, it doesn't mean that we'll be void of the trials, but there's a difference between going through a trial and being broke and disgusted and hurt and down and going through a trial in faith. Amen? I'm finding that it's a lot better to go through a trial in faith, trusting and believing God that you're going to get through it, because it actually gets you through it quicker when you use your faith. And so we see here that God says, you can do it. I'll take you down my path. And so we're trying to find out, how do we then follow God's path for our life? How do we then hear, okay, I need to stop what I'm doing. I need to stop what I think about things and actually consider, God, you might have something different for me, or God, you might have a different path for me. And it all boils down to that first word, which is trust in the Lord. If you trust that he's good, you believe that he's good, you won't mind seeking him and hearing the answer he has for your life. I tell the same story all the time about that drive to the general store in Falconer, that convenience store. That was like one of the first jobs that I actually was faithful to after I finally got born again and learned that it's not good to just quit every job. I finally learned that I had some inward witness with me and some conviction of not doing that anymore. And I remember just kind of, you know, being on the outskirts with God. And you all know the story. I was terrified to get sent to China or Africa. Mostly it was Africa, but I don't want to go to China either. I don't want to go there. And I wouldn't give my heart to God. I wouldn't trust in the Lord with all my heart because I was afraid of the answer that I might hear. But see, what that comes down to is believing that he doesn't know what's best for your life. If you won't take the time and say, Lord, I'm ready. Just tell me what it is you want me to do. Now, he might say, you stay right where you are and keep being faithful. But he might say, listen, I want you to go there. I want you to talk to this person. I want you to do this with your business. I want you to do this with your life. And see, when we don't do that out of fear, it's because we're saying, Lord, I don't believe that what you actually are going to tell me is best for my life. That's a problem. That's not faith in him. Listen, I finally got to the realization, number one, you're smarter than me, God. Number two, you love me. You proved it by giving me Jesus. So I remember on that way to the general store, it was like 4:30 in the morning. I had to get there and get the coffee going for people. And, you know, I'm like picking eye boogers out of my eyes, hardly even awake. But I just came to the realization, you know, I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of feeling like I'm swimming or paddling upstream in a stream of peanut butter, and the only thing I have for a paddle is a straw. That's what life felt like. I said, Lord, okay, fine. You want to send me to China? Send me. You want to send me to Africa? I'll go. I said, I will do anything, Lord. I will do anything you want. I will follow your plan I will dot the I's. I will cross all the T's, and I will do everything you said to me. It was from that point the floodgates began to open in my life, and it did not start until I was willing to trust in him and hear from heaven. Amen. And then he started leading me into paths, and here I am with a beautiful wife and two beautiful children and two awesome churches. Glory to God. And so, hallelujah. So let's look at Romans 8 real quick. I want to wrap up this review because we showed you how we lead you last week. That's what I'm reviewing right now. And then I'm going to show you how to hear from him in the manner of how he leads you. Romans 8 and verse 14 says this, "For as many as are led," now he's going to tell you, "for as many as are led," or you could say it this way, "for as many as are guided by God's hand onto those paths that he directs for you, for as many as are led by the what? The Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So the Bible's telling us that the way God leads you is not through your mind, because your thoughts aren't his thoughts. Your ways aren't his ways. The way that God does not lead you is through your flesh. How many of you know you can get into a whole heck of a lot of trouble doing things because they feel good? Amen. I used to get in a whole lot of trouble because, well, it feels good. It must be right. Ooh, that's dangerous, right? That is dangerous. And so, well, you know, it feels so nice and feels so fuzzy. It must be God. Nuh-uh, not all the time. You know, I bring up the point of, remember when Paul and Silas had a vision to go over to Macedonia? They had a vision from heaven. It was God. And they went there and they ended up getting beaten and thrown in prison. And stripped naked and thrown into jail. Now, you say, well, boy, that was awesome. God led him into that. No. When God, see, here's the thing you have to understand. When you start to get on God's path, the devil trembles and shakes because now you are about to become a force that has never been before, a force that is absolutely to be reckoned with. And so when you get on God's plan, that awakens the devil to say, I got to stop this. I got to stop this. And he might try to shake it, and he might try to rock and reel it, but you just stay on the path like Paul and Silas did and complete the will of God for your life, and you'll increase. That's why the Bible says there's a great door and effectual open to you, but at the door are many adversaries. When God has a plan for your life, he wants you to increase and increase and increase, but he knows that you're going to become more of a force for him. The devil knows that, and he stirs things up. But here, Paul and Silas were called to go there. They knew it was God's plan to go to Macedonia. They go to that city. They get beaten. They get thrown in prison. They get stripped naked, hands and feet in stocks and locked in prison. Let me ask you, what did that feel like to the flesh? Now, they could have sat there in prison like most Christians and said, this doesn't feel good. We must have made a mistake coming here. No, they didn't make a mistake going there. They were 100% in the will of God, yet it didn't feel good, right? It's not saying God's going to call you to go get beaten, thrown in prison. See, one thing that will help you that you got to remember, they paved the way for us. See, because people say, how can I have this blessings when I see a guy like that got thrown in prison and beaten? You don't have the call that he has had on his life, and you don't have to pave the way. It's like the guy that comes through after 6 feet of snow gets dumped on the road or 2 feet of snow and comes through with a plow, right? He's plowing the way for you, so then you don't have to. You can just go and have a nice smooth ride on the road, right? And you might have a little bit of bumps here and there, but you don't have it like that snow plow had to go through. That's what those apostles did for us and the people of the early church. They were starting everything off. And they paved the way for us. And you know, we're paving the way for people, and it'll be easier for the people that come after us. Praise God. And so don't get mixed up and say, well, you know, they got thrown in prison. Boy, I sure don't want to follow the plan of God. No, that's where the blessing is. But what I'm trying to get across to you is that it might not feel good. Because people go by their flesh all, ooh, I had goosebumps. It must be God. Ooh, it felt really good. Or my mind thinks this is the way. Well, your mind might be lined up with the Spirit. Your flesh might be lined up. They're not always opposite, but I need to find out this because that's the way God leads me. If I'm going to walk into his paths for my life, which are filled with good things, I got to get out of here, I got to get out of here, and I got to get into here and hear from heaven. Because he's not speaking to your mind. He's not speaking to your flesh. God, now, you might have an experience with God, and you might cry, and you might have goosebumps. That's the result of God speaking to you. God doesn't speak to you by, he doesn't make you cry and that's God speaking to you. No, you cry because you were touched by God and then you cry. You have goosebumps because you were touched by God. The goosebumps aren't the sign that, oh, God, I had goosebumps here, I better go. No, 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 no. God doesn't lead through goosebumps. He doesn't lead through tears. He doesn't lead through happy, ooey-gooey feelings. He leads through the Spirit of God. Remember the disciples on the shore? Jesus just gets done preaching the sermon about the parable of the sower. He says, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. They did exactly what Jesus said to do. They were 100% perfect in the will of God. And all of a sudden they got out in the middle of the water and the greatest storm that these professional fishermen who got paid to do this for a living were in. The biggest storm of their lives. They thought they were all dying. Now, that didn't feel good to the flesh, but they were 100% in the perfect will of God. Right? And there are times when things can feel really, really good and it not be God. But there's times it can feel really, really good and be God. The point is, get out of the natural. Get out of the guessing game and get into your heart. If you're going by the checkbook, if you're going by the feelings, if you're going by other people's attitudes and what other people are saying that you should do, you are in the natural realm and you are in the realm of the devil and the realm that will trip you up. You need to get into the realm of the Spirit, glory to God. God's not led by your checkbook. God's not led by your family members who are jawing in your ear. God's not led by the economy. God's not led by all these things. Trust me, if we were led by the flesh and led by the Spirit, or not led by the Spirit, led by the flesh and led by the economy and led by the checkbook, I would have never gone forward in getting a new building because it made no sense. But miracles happened. Yes, God touched people's hearts and they were so faithful and so generous. And miracles happened. But the miracles happened after we went forward. Yeah, after we went forward. But what I'm saying is if we would have went by, well, when all the money's there, then I'll do it. It's easy that way. No, see, now sometimes God won't tell you to do it without the money, but if he tells you to do it, it's because he's got money waiting for you. He's got a supply waiting for you. Glory to God. So my point is we need to get into our spirit. And of course, Proverbs 20 and verse 27, and this will end the review, and then we're going to get, okay, then how do I hear in my spirit? Proverbs 20 and verse 27. See, this stuff will keep you safe for the rest of your life. Amen. Glory to God. Proverbs 20 and verse 27 says, The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So the Bible says that he leads you through your spirit. Now see, what happens is you have a spirit, but you also have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. How it happens is the Holy Ghost hears from heaven, because the Holy Ghost is heaven, the Holy Ghost is God, and then relays to your spirit the mind of God. So the Holy Spirit will speak to your spirit, and that's how God will lead you. And the Bible says we know where it is, the inward parts of the belly. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit, about how we discern, how do we know it's the voice of God? How, you know, because sometimes we have no idea. Is that me? Is that God? Well, we'll find out today, and it'll help you. But go to Genesis chapter 13. I want us to look at a story about Lot. We brought it out a little bit last week. I want to go in depth more on it this week. Praise God. Do you know that the plan of God needs you to hear from heaven? It does. There's been times where God has, well, let's just leave money out of it for this one, then I'll get back to the money, but where God has told me specifically in my spirit, led me to go do something that had I disobeyed it, all the fruit and the ripple effect that happened after would have never happened. Or, for example, God has told me at times, give this amount of money or give that amount of money. Well, if God speaks to people about doing that and then they don't obey, the kingdom of God is hurt. Amen? So it just benefits every area of our life, our church, our family, our personal life, our businesses, our jobs, to obey and to hear from heaven. See, God doesn't want to just direct you. He's interested in every area of your life. If you're interested in it, God's interested in it. If you're interested in your business prospering, God is. If you're interested in your children doing right and walking in the plan of God, God is interested in it. If it matters to you, it matters to him. Amen. Yeah, there ain't no small thing in your life that God would say, oh, it's just, no, God cares about everything. He said to you, in all your ways acknowledge me. What's he saying? I invite you to ask me about every single thing. Now, don't get weird and say, Lord, Count Chocula or Cocoa Puffs today? Which one, Father? You know what I'm saying, right? That was supposed to be funnier than it was, but I trust our live stream audience is just rolling on the floor right now, so praise God. Genesis 13 and verse 1, and it says this. It says, in Abram, who became Abraham, who was a man of God, who followed God, went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place. Okay, Holy Ghost, I'll say that. When you follow his spirit, you'll find yourself being very rich. Amen. When you finally get to the place where you listen to God, you will increase financially. You will. Abraham did everything God told him to do, and he was the wealthiest man on the planet. Glory to God. It's true. It's true. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now here it is. And Lot, who was his nephew, also went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. It was too small for all that they had. for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzites, whatever they are, they probably had some parasites there and dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife. I love Abraham. Yeah, holy May, who's praying for utterance around here? I hope all of you, because they're always on the sheet. So y'all sort of said, me, I'm praying for utterance. But look, it says, I pray that there be no strife. What a man of wisdom Abraham was. You know what the Bible says about strife? Where there's strife, there's evil, and there's confusion, and every evil work where strife is. You see, when you understand what strife brings in, that strife opens the door to the devil and says, come on in, devil, mess my life, steal, and just kill and destroy. You won't care about being right anymore. You'll just want to make the situation right, because strife, let me just say this, you don't have enough money in your checkbook to afford strife in your life, because strife will destroy you, because the Bible says in James that where there's strife is, there's confusion. In every evil work. And Abraham was a man of wisdom. He said, no strife allowed here. You see, me and my wife, how many of you know sometimes you have passionate discussions, right? Where let's face it, where I'm always right. And, you know, she's not here, so I can say all that. And she's in the nursery. But it's truthfully, most of the time she's right. But here's the point. It don't matter if I'm right or she's right. If an argument starts to rise and I can sense strife starting to set in, guess what I do? I bite the bullet, swallow my pride, and say, we can't afford this. Whatever happened here, I am so sorry. Let's fix this. Amen. And you want to fix it, and you want to fix it so fast, because you know, don't let the devil in. Right. You see what pride will do? Pride will say, no, I want to be right. Pride says, no, I'm going to be right. I'm going to be right. And you know what pride did? Pride got the devil kicked out of heaven. Yes, it did. And pride will get you kicked out of your place with God. It will, because where pride comes before what? The fall. Pride leads, then you fall into a trap. And only pride would want to say, I'm going to be right. She's wrong. He's wrong. They need to come do this. No, 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 no. A man of wisdom says, listen, let's not have any strife. Let's fix this, right? Glory to God. So whoever's praying for utterance, keep praying. Glory to God, because people need to hear this. And so it says, verse 8, Abraham said, I pray there be no strife between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Isn't that awesome talk? We be brethren. And is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If you'll take the left hand, I'll go to the right. Or you depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Now here's verse 10, what I want to get you to see here. Verse 10, now, Lot has a choice of somewhere different to go. If he was smart... If he would have been smart, he would have never left his place of blessing, number one. But he wouldn't have done what he did, is what I basically want to say. And let's look at what he did in verse 10. It says, and Lot lifted up his eyes. Now let's hope he's lifting up his eyes to God, right? The rest of the story would be so different if the Bible says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and sought God on what to do. It doesn't say that, though. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of the Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. It was watered as the garden of the Lord, which was the Garden of Eden, like the land of Egypt that thou comest unto Zoar. So Lot lifts up his eyes and looks and sees in the natural a wonderful thing, right? And that would naturally want to say, it looks good, it must be God. I love these circumstantial, natural-led Christians all the time. That when something good happens, that was God. Something trial, that stay away from that, that wasn't God. They have no idea. They're going by the natural. God does not lead by the natural. God doesn't lead by the plain of the Jordan was well watered everywhere, so well watered like the Garden of Eden. We know by the end result of this. But we see Lot's take on it and what Lot did. And unfortunately, many people do this all the time. They lift up their eyes and they look and they see something that seems good, feels good, sounds good, and they go for it. Never ever considered God. Now, it might be God what seems good, sounds good, looks good, and feels good and all that. It might be God. But boy, I sure want to know. I sure want to know. Glory to God. I told you the story about the Bible school and getting a full ride locally and getting a full-time job when I got out of that school. That looked good. That sounded good. That felt good. That was so simple on my flesh. And going to Rhema was one of the hardest things I ever did. I mean, I packed that truck up and just took off and drove, not knowing where I was going, not knowing anybody where I was going to stay, having just enough money for 1 month's rent, and then after that, I was on my own. That didn't feel good. That wasn't easy, but that was 100% the will of God for my life. Yeah, it was. And so Lot, he chose the easy route. He chose the easy way, and he looked, and it was good. And then it says in verse 11, then Lot chose him. Now, more modern translations say this. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from one another. And then in verse 12, it says, Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Wow. We know the end result. Let me just real quick, I have a list of five things that happened here by Lot choosing for himself. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think God loved Abraham more than Lot? Absolutely not. We know because God is not a respecter of person. He's the same. He doesn't have favorites. But I'll tell you this much. If you think that God is going to drop a boulder in front of you that says, stop, don't go this way, you are mistaken. Because God knows the beginning from the end. He knew what Lot was going to get himself into by going here. And we don't see God. I mean, here's the God who parted the Red Sea. Why couldn't he be the God who put up giant roadblock that said on there, don't go there? He didn't do it. Why? Because you have a choice in life. God's not doesn't have little God robots where he makes you do. He wants you. He wants relationship. And we'll get into that. We'll get into that in the end. But let me just tell you what happens for Lot chosen for himself. I'm not going to read all these references. I will give you the references if you're a note taker. Let me tell you what happened to him by choosing what he thought was awesome. He was taking the higher paying job and not worrying about his spiritual life. He was going because it felt good and because, you know, this is just the norm. This is what you do in life. This is what I've been ingrained and been told to do my whole life, that I have to do it this way. Well, you better make sure that's what God wants. Glory to God. And here's what it says. Number one, what happened to him? He got captured and needed rescue. Lot got captured and needed rescue, and that's in Genesis chapter 14. You can read it later. Number two, angels from God. He had a heavenly visitation, appeared at his doorstep. And wicked men, we know Sodom and Gomorrah was wicked. There were men that came and beat on the door. They knew that these angels who were in the form of men, he knew that these angels, the men of that city knew that the angels were at the door, and they attempted to beat the door down to have unnatural relationships, men with men. That's what these guys were trying to do. We know these new men are here. Let us in so that we can have them. That was number two. That would probably be a real neat experience to be in your house and have that happen. Now, Lot's response to people beating down the doors to try to have unnatural relationships, man-on-man relationships, Lot's response was, have my daughters. How twisted did Lot get by making one wrong decision? Now Lot's saying, here's these rabid savages beating the door. Give me those men. Lot says, oh, here, you can take my precious daughters. I can't even imagine. But that's what happened. Here, have them. Number three, the city that seemed so wonderful when he lifted his eyes and looked was destroyed, and Lot's wife was killed in the destruction, wasn't she? So now we can see one bad decision snowballed and snowballed and snowballed and got worse and worse and worse. What else? Number four. Well, both of those last two references of his daughters and the angels and the city, actually all the rest of the references are in Genesis 19. We see that Lot lived out the rest of his days in fear. A man who was once so wealthy lived out the rest of his days like a scared little kitten in a cave with his daughters. What a life for his daughters, huh? What a life for a rich man who was once just so vibrant and full of life. One wrong decision. He ends up living in a cave with his daughters out of fear. And number five, His daughters become so depressed and so desperate. Daddy's taking them to a cave, pulled them out away from all their friends, all their family. Don't have a chance to meet a man. Don't have a chance to get married. Don't have a chance to live out a life. They become so desperate, they get their father drunk and they have relationships with their father so that they can carry on the family name on successive nights. How twisted and sick did this turn into? One wrong decision. Didn't seek God. Decided, I'm going to do it because it looks good, because this is what the society norms are telling me to do, because this is what my family's telling me to do, this is because what so-and-so's telling me to do. What is your spirit telling you to do? Trying to keep you safe here today. And unfortunately, people all the time, unnecessarily, this was not God's plan for Lot's life. God's plan was not, well, I think this is what we'll do. Yeah, it'd be great to see him get captured. Let's put that in his life. Oh, I think it would be wonderful to, you know, to really see him get so desperate to give up his daughters, and then his daughters to be so desperate and do that. And I'd love to see him live out the rest of his days in fear. We know that was not God's plan for his life, but that's the plan that Lot chose for himself. And people are doing this all the time. They're choosing for themselves. They get peer pressure from their family, peer pressure from their friends, peer pressure from society and what society says you have to do, and jobs, and peer pressure from money. Money leads people, and peer pressure from fear, and all these things. And they never consider God. They make decisions out of fear. They make decisions out of money. They make decisions out of pressure they put on themselves, unrealistic expectations, family. I mean, yip, yip, yip. Sometimes family members are the worst ones to listen to. I'm telling you, you want to listen to the voice of God, not the voice of mom, not the voice of dad. Now, if you're a young kid, you have to obey and honor your parents. I don't mean that. I'm talking, you know, when you get older to start making decisions for your life. Listen, it ain't about what grandpa said, grandma said, and preacher this said. Listen, you don't see me getting in your personal life and telling you, you need to do this. Why? I'm not God. I don't know what God has. I know a few things that God has for you. I know that he wants you saved. I know that he wants you in church with a pastor. I know he wants you to do certain things financially. I know he wants you to walk in love. I know he doesn't want you to be in fear. There's certain things, but I don't know what job God wants you to take. I don't know what college God wants you. I don't know if God wants you to go to college. I don't know if God wants you to make this decision with your business. I don't know. I'm not God, but he knows. He knows for you. Yeah, he knows for you. Praise God. And so people are going through unnecessary things in life because they do their own thing. And so we want to find out then, okay, if God leads us through our spirits, then how do we hear God in our spirits? You want to know? Do you want to know? Right? Okay, well then I'll show you. Colossians chapter 3, praise God. Glory to God. I think the Lot situation ought to hit people between the eyes. Yep, hit people between the eyes. Well, everybody's doing it. Well, yeah, everybody was going down to Sodom and Gomorrah because it looks so good. Well, this is what everybody does. Okay, that might not be the way God has it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. I'm going to show you how 99.99999999999% of the time God's going to lead you in decisions. I'm going to show you today. Because if you think he's going to send you an angel, it's rare. If you think he's going to send Jesus at your door in the middle of the night, it's rare. In fact, I only know a few people that Jesus has ever appeared to. And I, of course, you've come in contact with hundreds and thousands of people your whole life, and I only know a few. He's never appeared to me. I've never got an angel. I did get a vision once because I was about to, you know, do something I shouldn't have done, take my life, and God saved me there. But 99.9% of the time, how God has led me has been this way. Verse 15. Now remember where the Bible says your spirit is? The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord searching all the inward parts of the belly region, this area. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now when that says hearts, it's not talking about your thumper, your blood pumper. It's talking about your heart, your spirit, the real you, the main person that you are. It says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, or you could say it this way, rule in your spirit, which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Now, I'm going to read that and amplify in a second, but let's look at this. It says, let peace of God. When it says rule, what does that mean? To have authority, to reign, to be in charge, to be the decision maker. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, this translation here, especially if you played sports, will bring this out to you even more, and you'll understand it more. Are you ready for the amplified? It says, let the peace that soul harmony which comes from Christ, now here it is, rule, and then in parentheses it says, let that peace that comes from Christ act as umpire continually in your heart. How acting as umpire? Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind in that peaceful state. So the Bible says, let the peace of God, the peace, let that act as an umpire, let that be the decision maker in your life. If you don't have absolute peace on it, then the answer is no. I played baseball, and you know, this was back before, you know, instant replay, and they don't even know if they have instant replay in high school, but whatever the umpire said, if he said you were out, guess what? You were out. If he said you were safe, guess what? You were safe. The umpire made the decision, and whatever he said, both teams had to abide by it. When the peace of God says something to your spirit, don't do this or do this, stop questioning it in your mind, stop questioning it in your flesh, and let that decide with finality. Final answer, what peace says. Yeah, peace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Getting an amen back there. That little baby, she loves it. Glory to God. You know, we laugh about my 26 jobs, and it's funny. I mean, who does that, right? I mean, I get it. And we laugh about the 4 or 5 different colleges. I mean, I went to Fredonia twice and had different majors each time. I went to Brockport to be a gym teacher. That didn't work out. Went to Fredonia to be a regular teacher. Went to Fredonia to be a speech pathologist. That didn't work out. Went to JCC to do this a couple different times. Went to Onondaga Community College up in Syracuse. Had 26 jobs in 2 years. Did a bunch of other things that aren't worth noting right now. And it's funny, and we talk about that, but the reason that I never settled down is because I never, ever had peace. I never had peace. Praise God. And I never, ever got to that place where I was just, whew. And the reason that I would jump from job to job to job is because I was searching and searching and searching and searching. You see, now this is not my dispensation against colleges, okay? This is not me, because listen, if God tells you to go to college, that's the plan for your life. But see, me, I felt pressured. Everybody just goes to college. Everybody has to go to college and get a degree, and everybody has to do something like that. And if you don't get your degree, you'll never amount to anything in life. And that's just what everybody has to do. Well, that might be the plan for a good majority of people, but it wasn't the plan for my life. Right. Let me tell you what college did for me, not a lick for what I'm doing now. It didn't do anything for me. Nothing that I learned in college, because I didn't learn anything in college, because I just pretty much slept and just got through it just as little as and measly as I could. It did nothing for me. Again, if you're going to college, this isn't me telling you shouldn't go to college. I'm telling you, what is God saying to you about going to college or going with this job or going with this thing and going with that thing? That's my point. It's what I'm saying. For my life, I bounced around all these things because it was ingrained in me. Since you're little, you got to go to college. If you don't, you won't have a good job. And media says if you don't, well, wait a minute. If God says don't go to college, he can still prosper me without a degree. I'm blessed, I'm rich, I'm healthy, I have a wonderful family, and I don't have a degree. Right. Amen. Now again, my wife has a degree, and that was the plan of God for her life. And it was absolutely vital and necessary for the 8 years that she had that job. That job carried us financially for a lot of the time. But for me, it wasn't the plan of God. But my point is, what are you doing in life? Are you doing it because God said to do it, or are you doing it because that's just what I have to do? That's just what someone's yipping in my ear about. That's what the pressures I'm putting on myself. There's no peace there. See, you gotta understand, peace is God's direction for your life. Peace is God's direction for your life. Now, real quick, go to 1 Timothy 1:19. We're almost done. 1 Timothy 1:19. Say, it's not very earth-shattering. No, it's not. That's the thing. Peace, following the peace of God is not very earth-shattering, but it's life-saving. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 19. Praise God. It says this in verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience. You know what the conscience is? It's how God leads you in your spirit. You know what your conscience, I mean, well, I always use this example, but let's all decide right now that we're going to go down and rob the super duper. Right now in your heart say, I'm going after this is over, and I'm going to go in there, and I don't have a gun, maybe I don't have a gun with me, but I'm going to make it look like I have one, and I'm going to tell them, give me all the money you got behind that cash register. Make up your mind to do that right now, and tell me what happens on the inside of you. It's like the story with Brother Hagin was talking to this woman. She was having so much trouble receiving her healing, and the problem was because she had so much unforgiveness, she hated her mother-in-law. And she would tell brother, and Brother Hagin wouldn't pray for her because he would know, I can't pray for you, I'm not going to receive your healing. And she would say to him, I just can't get past it, I hate my mother-in-law. So he went out to dinner with the family, with the husband and wife, and him and his wife. And he said, I want you to tell me, I want you to look me right in the eyes right now, and I want you to tell me, I hate my mother-in-law. So she did that. She said, I hate my mother-in-law. He said, check up on your spirit. Check up on the inside. She said, there's a scratchy feeling down there. He said, because you don't hate your mother-in-law. Because the love of God, you're a Christian. The love of God's been poured out in your heart. You think you hate her, but you don't when you really check up on your spirit. It's the same thing. Make up your mind and just settle right now that you're going to go rob the super duper. And then check up in your heart before you go and do it. And you'll get that scratchy feeling. What is that? That is your conscience telling you, don't do it.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Praise God. Right now in your heart, say, I'm going to stand up on the back of the chair. I'm going to do a backflip right off this chair and show everybody what I got. Make up your mind to do that. And right before you do it, check up on the inside and see what it's saying, right? Yeah. That's scratchy. See, people are looking for the lightning. They're looking for the thunder. They're looking for the visions. That is not how God does things. And it says, let the peace... Oh, can we go to 1 Timothy 1 and verse 19? 1 Timothy 1, 19. Praise God. Holding faith and a good conscience. Now here it is. Which some having put away... What's that mean? Some have disregarded their conscience. You know what Lot did? Disregarded what his conscience was telling him. Have made shipwreck of their life. You like having shipwreck in your life? Crashing and everything being strewn about and messed up and all your stuff all over the place. That's what will happen if you don't check up on the inside and obey what the inside is telling you. Now, I always think it's funny when people say, I'm just being led not to go to church. No, you're not. Stop eating pizza and start praying more because you're not. Or, you know, God's leading me not to tithe anymore. It'll never violate this thing. It'll never violate this thing. And anything that he speaks in your heart will always line up with this thing. And then we're going to close with this, because here's where the rubber meets the road right here. Why do people have such a hard time when they face big decisions hearing from heaven? That's part of it, but that's not the main reason what I'm getting to here today. Because before you can have, because faith, when you get God's plan, that's where faith kicks in. Then you use faith to walk it out, but you got to get God's leading first. And why people don't get God's leading is because they spend so much time feeding this and feeding this, and they take no time to develop the actual thing that God is speaking to them through, and their flesh is the biggest, loudest monster, and their mind is the biggest, loudest monster, and their spirit man is just a little itty bitty little thing. And they wonder, when I face a hard decision, why don't I know what to do? Because you haven't taken time to develop your spirit and hear from heaven. Because he's not speaking to you in your mind. We spend hundreds. People have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars developing this. Right? People spend money on gym memberships and fill up their grocery cupboards to develop this.
Yeah.
And we don't spend any time, any effort developing the one thing that God actually talks to you through, which is your spirit.
Yeah.
Good work. Yep. And we'll close 1 Kings 19 and verse 11. I'm going to show you then, how do I develop my spirit? 1 Kings 19, verse 11. Praise God. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after a what? A still, small voice. God will lead you with a still, small voice. You want to know why? It does not take faith to be led by an earthquake. It does not take faith to be led by a fire. It does not take faith to be led by a strong wind. All of a sudden, you know, God, should I do? You know, it's like in the Old Testament. Remember when they laid out the fleece? They laid out the fleece. And if they woke up and it was wet, God was leading them one way. And if they woke up and it was dry, God was leading them another way. That's Old Testament. I had someone tell me one time about something they were making, a business decision. We're laying out the fleece. We have it for sale. Just see. And if it sells, that was God's. What are you talking about? God does not lead that way. Well, I'll do this, and then if it happens, that must have been God. You're living your life like a lottery. You're living your life like a slot machine, just hoping that what you chose was God's will. And he doesn't lead that way. He doesn't lead in earthquakes. He doesn't lead in fires. He doesn't lead in visions. He doesn't lead in angels and Jesus appearing. He leads with the still, small voice. If you're going to hear the still, small voice, you better shut your mind up. You better shut your flesh up. And you better get quiet and actually be able to hear what God is saying to you. But so many people are just busy, busy, busy. Life is crazy, crazy, crazy. It's loud. It's everything. It's this all the time. And we have no idea what God is saying to us. And God's trying to lead us. You see, that takes faith to hear the still small voice. It doesn't take faith for God to, it doesn't take faith for Jesus to appear to you and say, my child, do this, do that. That doesn't take faith. It takes faith to get quiet and hear, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow peace. Because there is no natural writing on the wall. There is no tangible thing you can touch that knows that you're making the right decision. It's in your spirit that you're following that leading of peace. That it's like the time I told you about the one dog, but we bought another dog, Chocolate Lab, named Mossy. And man, I miss that little puppy. But it was after we had the debacle with the other dog, and we already had our one dog, Wrigley. And I got this crazy idea in my mind that Wrigley needed a companion. And it was so stupid because now we found out that Wrigley can't even stand being around other dogs. But I'm like, oh, I feel so bad for her when I'm gone. And she loves being alone. And so I went out, and the Holy Spirit said, don't even look in the Buffalo News. I looked. I didn't have, when I picked up the Buffalo newspaper, I did not have peace. I had that scratchy feeling saying, don't do it. Well, then I saw Chocolate Labs in Orchard Park. The Holy Spirit inside me, when I went to pick up the phone, that you know that scratchy, yucky feeling. You know what it is. Told me, don't make that phone call. Made the phone call. Oh, we'd love to have you come out tonight. Scratchy feeling. Don't tell your wife. Told my wife. Don't drive out there. Drove out there. Because once you see one, it's over. These little cute little Chocolate Lab puppies coming out. And so we get one. We name her Mossy. And the reason I named her that is because there's a camouflage named Mossy Oak. And so I named her Mossy. And cutest little thing you ever saw, but the most destructive little creature ever. I mean, I didn't know if I got a beaver or a puppy. All of our, what's it called? The molding that goes, the nice wood molding in our house. It was like, come home one night, look like a beaver. She had separation anxiety that the dogs have, and you'd leave and she'd pee everywhere. She couldn't be alone. She absolutely tore the house up. Sweetest little thing. And the Holy Ghost, that's peace on the inside. God wasn't saying, don't do it. He was just scratching me. That peace of God telling me, don't do this. And so I became attached to her because she was so cute. And Wrigley won't nap with me. And sometimes I like to take naps. Wrigley won't nap with me. She's always on edge. Mossy, hours would just lay there, snuggled up with me. And I love that about her. So I got really attached to her. And so we prayed. So Lord, the only way we'll give her away is if she goes to a better place. And this lady that, through a family member, had a farm. And Mossy became a fat, smelly farm dog who just has the best life ever now and just is always outside. But what? The Holy Ghost was trying to tell me. Don't do it. And I could go on and on about times I disobeyed and consequences. Times I obey. Thank God I've never made a bad decision where I ended up like Lot, right? But I'll say it this way. There's been big decisions in my life that I've missed this where I've known not to do it and I've done it and it's taken a while for things to get fixed. They'll get fixed, but there'll be consequences to pay. But why go through that? So, here's how you develop your spirit. Just write this down. Meditating on the Word. Meditating on the Word. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And the more time you spend in the Word, the more your spirit will be developed, the more sensitive it will come to the things of God. And what God's trying to speak to you, you'll know. And number two, and we're going to look in Romans 8:13, and then I will shut my Bible, I promise. Romans 8 and verse 13 is the last verse we'll go to. Some people might not know anything about it, and if you don't, you are missing out. You are missing out on a life that God has for you. The other way you develop your spirit to hear from God is to spend ample times praying in tongues. Romans 8 and verse 13 says, for if you live after the flesh, you'll die. Why? If you're led by the flesh, you will be led into destruction. But if you, through the Spirit, when you pray in tongues, you know what happens? You mortify the deeds of the body. You know what happens? Your flesh goes down, your spirit goes up. Your sensitivity to the Spirit of God becomes like an antenna and like a radar. And when God speaks, you pick it up. You pick it up because when you pray in tongues, the Bible says your spirit prays. Your spirit prays. 1 Corinthians 14 is if you need that. Look at that. When I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. The very thing that God's going to direct you on. And so when you pray in tongues, you're giving place to your spirit, man. And you're building up your spirit, man. And then when God speaks, you pick it up. There's no big decision in my life that I don't spend hours praying in tongues on. Where to start churches, where to go, what to do in life. I say, Father, you know, mind of the Spirit, you know what it is. Help me. And I just get quiet and get praying in tongues, and I give my spirit place. Instead of sitting 6 hours in front of the TV, instead of, you know, filling up my body with 8 meals a day and just being so lethargic. No. How bad do you want to hear from God? It's possible, but you need to be sensitive to that still small voice. Amen? Well, if you'll do the word and do this message, I know I went a little bit longer, but it was good anyways. It'll save you money. It'll save you heartache. It'll save you destruction, and you'll be blessed. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We glorify you. We thank you for direction. Father, we thank you we're not led by family members. Father, we thank you we're not led by our flesh or our minds or by money or by this or by that. Nope, we just need to stop considering all those other sources. Stop considering all those other avenues and start considering what you have for us. And Father, your avenue and your direction is always peace. You always lead us through peace. Father, I just pray for every single person here and every single person listening that they'll start letting peace be like an umpire in their life. And when peace says no, the answer is no. When peace says, yeah, that's okay, then they'll go ahead with it. When the natural looks scary, but peace says yes, they'll go for it anyways. When the natural looks great, but peace says no, they'll stay away from it, Father. I pray that people would be sensitive to that, Lord. I pray that people would be sensitive to that. And Father, we just praise you and give you the glory today. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. Father, you don't want us to stumble. You don't want us to trip up. You don't want us to fall and to mess our lives up. And so, Father, we thank you for that peace of God that's on the inside of us. We thank you that that peace becomes louder and louder on the inside of us, and we make the right decisions in our life. And we're not led by our emotions. We're not led by our feelings. We're not led by what we think. We're led by your Spirit. And Father, I thank you it saves us money. It saves us heartache. It saves us destruction. And we walk into all those things that you have prepared for us before the foundations of the world, and we walk into all those blessings. And Father, I just thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you for Jesus most of all. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. You know, we don't know who all is listening by live stream or everybody's heart. And so ask yourself this question, if you can hear my voice right now, if today were my last day on planet Earth, do I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'd go to heaven? Ask yourself that. If the answer isn't a 100% yes, that means you need Jesus, because I'm 100% sure I know the answer for me would be yes, because the Lord has said, if I accept him, I have heaven as my eternity. So if you're here today with heads bowed and eyes closed and you've never received Jesus, or you can't be sure where you'd go and you want to accept him, would you just raise your hand? Is there anybody at all in the sanctuary? I'm not surprised by that, but I don't, again, know who all's listening. And if you're listening to my voice and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's so simple. God loves you so much. He just wants you to believe him. Jesus died on the cross and rose again. And if you believe that and you want him in your life, you're a candidate. You're qualified to be saved. You're qualified to be accepted by God. So if you want to accept him, we're going to go ahead and pray a prayer. And if you're listening by live stream, you just jump in with this prayer and you repeat these words after us here in this sanctuary. And you mean them with all your heart. So let's all pray together. Let's say this. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Real quick before we dismiss, if there's anybody that needs hands laid on them for anything in their body, the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Just come forward real quick and we'll lay hands on you and believe that the power of God goes in you. Anybody at all? You want, brother? Awesome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And praise God. What's up, DJ? Which one? All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just command healing in this shoulder. And Father, I thank you that he will see a difference. I thank you that your power goes into this shoulder now, Father. And we thank you for perfect healing. We thank you for perfect restoration in this shoulder now in Jesus' name. Thank you, brother. You need something, brother? Stand in front of the chair in case you fall down here. What's up? Ankles? In the name of Jesus, we command the power of God from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet to go into him and into those ankles. And we speak to those ankles and we say complete healing, complete restoration in those ankles. And Father, we thank you that your power is in his body now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was out to lunch a couple weeks ago with Alice. She worked third shift last night. That's why she's not here. And we were going through the parking lot and she said, man, I'm having trouble with my knee and my tooth. And right there in the parking lot of the Trillium Lodge at Cherry Creek, we laid hands on her and man, the power of God hit her and she got healed. Praise God. And so if you had hands laid on you today, just go out of here thanking God that the power is working. You say, man, I still feel it. No, the power is working. They will recover. It will happen. Amen. Sometimes it's automatic. Sometimes it isn't. But just go out of here in an attitude of faith thanking God. And also I mentioned praying in tongues. If you don't pray in tongues and you want that experience, come see me after service and I'll make sure that you can enter into that. Because I'll tell you what, if you're a Christian and you're not praying in tongues, you're missing out. It's not that you're not saved. It's not that God doesn't love you the same, but you're missing out on such benefits that God has for you. So if that's something you're interested in, which you should be if you're a Christian, come see me and we can step in my office and we'll get you filled with the Holy Ghost and get you more sensitive to the Spirit. Amen? Well, you're all blessing. We'll see you all next week. You are dismissed.